good record tonight, and then we'll hopefully give them all a one round of applause. The first vice president is Maxwell and his wife Betty from Valdez. Second vice president, Steve Wasik and his wife Evelyn from Petersburg. The historian, Ed Klopp, his wife Amber from Homer. Chaplain, wife Jeremy and his wife Angie, Burbank. Sergeant at Arms, Maury England and Doris from Ketchikan. Inner Guard, Ken Kareem and his wife Romaine from Juneau. Trustee, Guy Barber, wife Pat from Anchorage. Charles Hunt and Beverly. Charlie, I didn't get your paper affiliation. Is that for you? That's for Stuart.
Stuart,
pardon me. Okay, Betsy Sharp, her husband Bert, Fairbanks. Grace Edmund, Nome. Jim Tapscott and his wife Millie from Palmer. Tom Frost and his wife Joanna from Kodiak. Secretary Norma Anderson from Ketchikan, Treasurer Bruce Johnstone from Wrangell, Recorder Opal Baldwin, and her husband Bob from Fairbanks, and special recognition please for the last event from Fairbanks, our outgoing Recorder, Jim Mahan. For King and Queen Regent from Burbank, Anchorage, Palmer, Valdez, Juneau, and Cordova, Burbank, Magdalene Cassidy, and Max McCarthy, three family names are called, Anchorage, Brian S. Johnson, Palmer, Brett and Kay Oshar, Valdez, Owen and Joyce Johnson, Juneau, Clifford and Edna Swap, and I have a King and Queen listed from Cordova. I beg your pardon, I do not have your name. You can see it in the page. Okay, please give the King and Queen Regents from these affected communities a hand.
Sure.
glory. I might call your attention to the cover of the program tonight for the bandwidth. This, of course, was an historical day and well represented by the news miner. Those of us, and all of us, I'm sure, from surveying that were here at that time have good recall of those days. We remember when the Chamber of Commerce and others sponsored the program to install quite a sunny sky in the Tuna River, and where it was supposed to turn gold by the time it got to the old bridge there on Clifton Street. And I turned green, I think, due to other ingredients in the river that lost gold prospects. Of course, there's one passage in here, and granted, it probably takes a magnifying glass to read it, but of course, I'm particularly proud of it. It's in the news minor saying that Dr. Lafayette L. Humphrey, my father, who passed away not too long ago, was scheduled to preside at the launching of a large balloon. And my dad had gone through the First World War in a balloon car, and of course had been expertise in this field. But the newspaper article, of course, doesn't tell all of it, because dad was on his way in from Paxton Lake, and he made the mistake of stopping the Buffalo Lodge and running into his old friend George Norton. The old man got here day late anyhow, and the balloon wouldn't hold there, so everything worked out all right. at any rate, again, you may need a magnifying glass, but there's some good old times on the front page Clyde Garrity for the invocation. Clyde, would you come? come from that place.
I'm fine.
Tony, you demonstrated stand up forward. You can call your head, please. Hold on, infinite God in the universe, we ask thee to regard with favor this brotherhood and sisterhood of a lasting pioneer. Promote a love of virtue and truth, not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of all brothers and sisters everywhere. Help us to rejoice in and to labor for the welfare of this beloved land, and lend thine aid that we may meet with courage all the hardships conquered, preserving energy all of its difficulties, and may it be our aim not always to gain in worldly wealth, but to give in love and kindness to our fellow men in every walk of life. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. Thank you very much, Wyatt. My wife asked me, why did you not have
testing,
the occasion prior to the introduction of our guests and some of the other things that we had to say at the beginning of the program? And I said, listen, when you have a teacher such as Mike Stefanovic, you better off have a chaplain just a little bit ahead of him.
Touche.
I'd like to introduce the head table at this time, which I fell off so well. Starting on the far right, the first lady of our past grand president, Estelle Ostbaker. And the media past grand president, Louis Ostbaker. Introduction, of course, of Mike. It's my pleasure to introduce the former First Lady of the Territory of Alaska, Matilda Stefanovic, and Governor Mike Stefanovic, Alaska's former governor. On my left are newly installed Grand President Harold Stefan and his wife Lucille. First in the House and then in the Senate until 1957. appointed governor of the territory of Alaska by President Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1957. He was the last territorial governor. Statehood was achieved during his term in office as governor. He's been active in politics, civic, and church affairs. Mike and Matilda have 13 children, 7 sons, and 6 daughters. Mike says he's been semi-retired for the last 5 years. Mike, if I already had 13, I think I'd throw in a towel and get out of retirement. That's your choice, of course. I'd like to add a little bit to, don't call it a resume, it's headed a separate anecdote. Mike was territorial governor under President Eisenhower from April 8, 1957 to August 9, 1959, when he then resigned to run for the United States Senate. Now, back in those days, the territorial governor really didn't have the nasty bureaucracy that our governor had today on Statehood. And as other territorial governors had prior to him, he had a certain amount of spare time. The Department of the Interior had a solicitor who kind of wrote dirt on us, and a fellow named Michael Edwards was Fred Seaton's man, you know. And sometimes it seemed that the governor had a lot of documents to sign and send them back to Washington, D.C., but again, found himself a little free time now and then. And Mike has been an advocate of the baseball game. In fact, he played actively himself. And according to my information, and to facilitate matters, there was a diamond right behind the old BIA office building in Juneau, just a few blocks from the Capitol building. And according to the gentleman who gave me this, why, he personally observed many times right in the middle of an exciting inning, onto the field to come Governor Mike Stephens, and his secretary with a handful of documents for him to sign. No matter which base he was on, he would sign the documents, the ball game would go on. Now, one cold fall winter's night in Fairbanks, a bunch of Republican candidates were warming things up in the Carpenter's Hall here in town. I got to preface this remark to tell you that it's a so-called octopus joke for the tentacles and so on, but just bear with me as I go through it. The hall was pretty crowded, both on the floor and on the stage. There was Johnny Butterbitch running for the Senate, Billy Ringstad, Alden Wilbur, George Sullivan, and Jack Cogdill were all looking toward the territorial house. And they'd all have their say, and so did another territorial Senate candidate, namely Mike Stephens. Now, Mike, an attorney, was in office on Cushing Street, was born in this country, and his dad, Wise Mike, was a successful gold miner. So here we are in the Carpenter's Hall in the mid-50s, and Statehood is still gleaming the eye. The federal government was a good campaign issue, and Mike took it all away. He stood there expounding upon the evils of Big Brother. He went on in some detail, and there was plenty of detail for him to go into. The federal government at that time, of course, controlled just about everything in Alaska at that time. So Mike roared, "It's just like an octopus," to the crowd. "It's just like an octopus," he said, waving his arms around. "It's got its tentacles all over the place." You lift up. We thought it appropriate it's possible to have our last territorial governor with us at this particular time. Unfortunately, we're able to accommodate it. On behalf of the Grand Igloo of President, no, Igloo number 4 in October, number 8, I would like to present you with a silver ingot representing and commemorating 25 years of statehood, last year in 1969, 1984. At this time, we're going to have a musical interlude. It's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Bill Reed, a conference corporate. Bill, the teacher at West Valley High, presently. However, he's a 40-year Alaskan resident. He was raised in Skagway. He spent the last 20 years in Fairbanks. His first rendition is from Camelotville. My pleasure to introduce Mr. Bowie. And what we're talking about is Patty Powell. Now, we should remember Patty, as she was the director of that wonderful group this week, Adeline, when it came to Friday night. However, tonight, Patty, I noticed you're not in country. Thank you, Patty. Thank you. Thank you. introduction, I would like to introduce the co-chairman of the convention, Luella Humphrey. And Laura Palmer. Hey, Laura. Well, you've done a terrific job. And I would like to have both of them come forward to the podium at this time and have a presentation for you, Laura and Laura, please. Luella is a small token of our appreciation, again, as a shoulder injured member of the 25 years of state legislation last year, where you and thank you ever so much for your participation in bringing together that absolutely wonderful convention. Merle, you've been giving away silver coins all day. It must be most appropriate for you to be on the receiving end at least once during this convention rather than the giving end. Again, thank you kindly, both of you.
That have already been drawn, we have
the prize winners for those here on my magic list. I'm going to call those names off, and maybe people can come up here, and if they are present, Mr. Cannon will give them a check for their prize. I'll have to sign it, I think. Okay, I'll have to sign it. And we would like to have you pause so that our photographers can take pictures of you. Because in all of our raffles, we have very few pictures of the prize winners. The first ticket that came out of the drum was number 437. It bore the name of Nancy Sadusky, we believe, of box 534 Stewart. Not yet, okay. The 100th ticket that came out of the drum, number 340, goes to Marie Blood. I know she's here. Oh yeah, that was a $100 ticket. The first one was $2,500. I was right to say that. The 200th ticket drawn out of the drum for $100, number 361, for Paul J. Van Dorn. I wonder about that because I could hardly make out the name drawn there on the shelf. So box 502 Dublin. The 300th ticket drawn was number 671. Bearing the name of George C. Hicks, 3130 West 67th Avenue, Anchorage. The 400th ticket drawn, again for $100, was number 648. Jim Newman of 2805 Dawson Street, Anchorage. The 500th ticket drawn, which was our third prize for $1,500, was number 268. Gene Taylor of Juno. The 600th ticket drawn out of the drum for the sum of $100, number 207, Ruth Sutton of Anchorage. The 700th ticket drawn, also for $100, was Pat James from Anchorage. The 800th ticket drawn, also for $100, was Pat Fleming from Anchorage. The 900th ticket drawn for $100 was number 614 for A. Savojic of Anchorage. And that's the drawing as of this moment. We have 15 tickets. The tickets of the last one will be worth $250. The last one will be worth $5,000 to somebody. And whoever's name is on the back of that last ticket will get $200 also. So we will now proceed with these last 15. Well, I'll give out the prizes here, and then we'll draw the last 15. There's one hitch to these. As I pass these checks out, they have to give me their social security number for IRS purposes. Thank you. If anybody wants to know where their ticket is,